Hello, I'm Professor Lou. Welcome to our live stream. I'm here today with two special guests. We have Ruth Lee and Anya Chen. They are both here as design media arts majors at UCLA in the US. And today, what we're going to be talking about is what it's like being an art major at a university or a liberal arts college, because I know for a lot of people who are thinking about art school, it's oftentimes a difficult decision. So Ruth and Anya are going to help you guys out with that. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. This is such a hard decision for so many students. And so we're going to dig deep into your past, Anya and Ruth, to figure out how you guys decided ultimately to be art majors at a larger university. So Anya, this is a piece from your college art portfolio that you made in high school. And so what was it like doing art in high school? Like, were you the art kid or what was your position in high school as an artist?
So, since sophomore year, after going to the pre-college program at RISI, I was basically certain that I wanted to be an art student, that I was going to apply to only art schools primarily and just go on that track. But I actually am not a DESMA major. That's Design Media Arts, by the way. I'm a communications major at UCLA, but I'm hoping to double major with DESMA. I've taken a few classes for that, but in high school, doing art was challenging. I mostly did it on weekends, like during studio, or I would take AP art, for example, though it wasn't my cup of tea. But most people knew me because of my artwork generally, so a lot of people were shocked that I ended up going to a school not for art.
And Ruth, what about you? What were you like in high school? Were you the art kid or what was going on there?
I was always like the mystery kid, I guess, because I had a lot of interests. And actually for the longest part of like my life, I've been really interested in science, like specifically marine biology. But art has always been something that I did as a hobby. And then after taking yearbook in high school, I got really into graphic design. And that's where I really just started to consider art more seriously. And then I think, yeah, like applying to colleges and looking into colleges junior and senior year is when I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to do art, not just as a side thing anymore, but like as my main, as my major. I was never really the art kid, but art was always been like a big part of my life and my interest in general.
And probably you guys don't know this, but I met Ruth and Anya at the RISD pre-college program many years ago. Ruth, you were in my design class, and so you survived 6 weeks in my class. But
I
Anya,
did, narrowly.
You've got a better story how you connected with me. What did you do?
So you were known as like a local celebrity within the RISD community, and people talk about you all the time. And one time I was at the RISD store getting art supplies with my roommate, and we saw you, and I was like, oh my God, is that Clara? Like, I knew that I needed you to see my work. So I DM'd you on Instagram, and we met up for a critique like really early in the morning. I remember sprinting down the hill at like 7 a.m. and I really did not expect to like still be here with Art Prof right now.
And actually, both Ruth and Anya did work as interns at Art Prof, and then they became project assistants. So you guys have been roped into the whole Art Prof world thoroughly. We have a question here from Eric Lee, who is asking, do you know anyone who is doing an art minor at UCLA? Ruth, why don't you take this?
Yeah, so I'm actually not sure if fine arts as a major is offered as a minor at UCLA, but definitely for design media arts, it's only a major. So unfortunately, you can't minor. I know a lot of people who would be interested in it, but that's one thing that we definitely don't have. And that's been a pain point for a lot of people on campus. So hopefully, maybe eventually we'll get a minor, but for now, there is no design media arts minor.
There are no art minors actually either for fine arts. It's only major.
Actually, Ruth, it looks like you're getting around. Neil is saying, I saw Ruth's texture cube.
Thank
You guys had
you.
no idea where those projects were going to go when I asked you to do them.
No, seriously, I literally did them like I in the ungodly hours of the morning because I didn't want to work on my other assignment that was due. So it was literally just something I never imagined seeing on the internet, let alone like other people seeing and like telling me about. So thank you. That means a lot.
Okay, so let's talk about the decision-making process as far as where to apply. So, Anya, did you apply to some liberal arts colleges and some art schools, or was it only liberals? How did you decide how to balance that, Anya?
Well, my parents are pretty academically focused, so they would only allow me to apply to a few top art schools, and the rest were just liberal art schools. But I used my art portfolio for my applications to Brown and UVA. I wanted to do the Brown RISD dual degree, which is really hard to get into. I did not get in, but I got into UVA for their art program. I did not go, but I applied to Pratt and Parsons and got pretty big scholarships for those. And I also got into RISD with my art portfolio, but I ended up turning them down for UCLA, which I applied to without my portfolio at all. So, yeah.
Oh, so Anya, when you applied, did not every school get to see your portfolio?
No, I didn't apply as an art focus. I thought that if I was going to study art, I would do it at an art school. So if I were going to choose a liberal arts college, it would just be for communications or journalism or something else. But for UCLA, when I got there, I realized I really love art and I need to continue that in my life. So I applied into the art major with the portfolio. And I got in, but ultimately decided that wasn't what I wanted. So now I'm pursuing DESMA.
We have a question from Lemonaden. They are asking, how is being surrounded by a lot of non-art students? Would you think of it more as a hindrance or an asset? Ruth, why don't you answer this one?
Yeah, I'm actually so glad this came up because this is probably like the biggest, like most defining part of my experience so far at UCLA. So our design media arts program is very, very small, especially compared to the other majors at UCLA. But the reason why UCLA was my dream school was because I knew I would be able to get an education in a context that was more like the real world rather than being in an art school bubble. Like, not that there's anything wrong with art school, and I loved my time at RISD in pre-college, but because I've always been interested in so many different fields and really more interested in like applied design, rather than like just design practice itself, I really wanted to draw inspiration from other majors and also collaborate with people who didn't come from an art background. So for me, it's been definitely an asset. But I think if you're looking for an experience that's a lot more just like close, like tight-knit family, and really just like an incubator for design practice alone, it might feel kind of overwhelming.
Anya, what about you? What have
Yeah.
been the advantages of being around a more diverse group of students?
I kind of had a different experience. I love that really tight-knit community of artists. Like, I still keep in touch with a lot of my friends that I made at RISD pre-college years ago. Like, I just love like the artistic minds that we can all like understand. And as an art-focused student, I guess, at UCLA, living with like living on a floor with primarily STEM majors, it was a bit difficult because my roommates and I kind of got known as like the art people, but I always felt like I had to prove my worth and like prove that like STEM wasn't necessarily like more important or more impactful than art, and that like artists do so much work too. And but that mindset of constantly having to prove myself like kind of got to me a bit. But I'm still really grateful to have gotten to know like a lot of my friends at UCLA that aren't in the art field, and like get to see their perspectives of school and life. And I feel like, yeah, what Ruth said about getting a more real world experience is definitely true.
I was going to say, all this stuff about having to prove your worth, that is never going to end. You're going to be doing that pretty much the rest of your life as an artist, even when you feel like you have gotten some degree of respect. It sort of never ends in a way. I would love to hear from the audience. How many of you guys who are watching right now are applying to art school or college this year? Is this a choice that you're trying to grapple with, whether to go to liberal arts or an art school situation? Because it is really hard to decide what to do. Now, Ruth, where did you apply? Did you do half art schools, half liberals? How did you do it?
Yeah, so I considered applying to like other art schools, but after doing the RISD pre-college program, which I absolutely loved and like do not regret, I actually realized like that's the point at which I realized I wanted to apply to all liberal arts schools and just do more creative programs at those schools. Because just for me, like even though I appreciated the education of RISD and the environment and having that creative bubble, I definitely recognize that that's not something that I think I can stay in forever. Again, since I had a lot of other interests and I always really like collaborating with people of like different skill sets and entirely different backgrounds, that is when I knew like, okay, this is great, but I need something more. I need like a bigger environment and I need diversity. And I, at the time, I didn't know that I'd be going into UI UX like I am now. But because I'm interested in that now, I'm seeing just how beneficial it is to be at a campus where there are people who, you know, are cognitive science majors or are computer science majors. And just the importance of, at least for like my area of design, having a knowledge of what's really going on in terms of how design moves and shakes other fields, rather than design just rising up as like its own like pillar. So yeah, I didn't apply to any arts only schools. I only applied to programs for like mixed media, basically design media arts at other schools, and communications programs, but they were all liberal arts schools.
I mean, all of you know that I taught at RISD for a very long time, so I very much was living in the art school bubble. But I'll tell you, I spent a couple years teaching at Wellesley College, which is a liberal arts school. And we actually had a lot of students from the Olin College of Engineering who would cross register and take Wellesley College classes. So I had all these engineering students in my classes and they were brilliant. Oh my goodness. Like I was blown away by their thinking and their innovation. And I am so happy I got an opportunity to teach them because it was such a different, I guess, situation than what I was accustomed to. And so I think see that diversity that's so important. We have a comment here from Albert who's saying, I enjoy being an art student at a non-art school. Very cool. And we have another question here from Demon Baby Girl who's saying, did you go to an art-based high school? Mine is, and it's fun having those friends to have. Anya, what kind of high school did you go to?
Oh boy, I'm from Northern Virginia, and that area is extremely academically competitive. And my school, I really liked my art teacher and my friends in my art class, but it was always just the same like five kids in the art classes if you would progress. And otherwise it was just mostly academically focused. So yeah, no, I did not go to an art-based high school.
Ruth, how about you? What kind of high school did you go to?
Yeah, my high school could not have been less art. So I'm from Cupertino, which is like in the South Bay area. And if you don't know where that is, that's the home of Apple and like the like headquarters of Silicon Valley. So literally everyone in my school, like their parents, we're all the children of like Apple, Google, Amazon, like Netflix workers. So like literally like every single year, like my high school alone has like 30 people who go to Berkeley, like 30 to UCI, all majoring in essentially CS, computer science. So yeah, I definitely did not really find much artistic inspiration at my school, but now I'm realizing that that probably was part of what might have like started to plant seeds of my interest in UI UX, because even though I was like, gross, computer science, not for me, and like STEM, science, pre-med, not for me. Now like that I'm literally like doing design, but like working with CS majors, I think having that background and just having that insanely non-art environment is what made me both appreciate art more, but also appreciate art and how it relates to, I mean, especially like tech, because it really is so important. And yeah, that's pretty much defined my experience at UCLA too.
We have a comment from Scott who's saying, I'm currently applying to exclusively art schools. I'm having a super hard time making a portfolio because I just started art in February. I did go to a technical college for a little bit before. Well, Anya, now that you and Ruth have gotten into college and you're well on your way, what advice would you give to somebody who's applying to any art program, liberal arts or art school, as far as preparing the portfolio? Because it is very stressful. And oftentimes people are just freaking out, and then it makes them afraid to work on the portfolio because they want the pieces to be good, but then it makes you really uptight. And so what's your piece of advice, Anya, for preparing that portfolio?
Well, I understand how daunting it can be, especially like comparing yourself to people who have done art their whole lives. Well, I have a friend who's extremely talented. I met her at RISD pre-college, but she was like a total STEM student until that pre-college program. And now she goes to SCAD and she loves it there. So it's possible, you got this. But my suggestion would be to try to get a variety within your applications portfolio, because it's not like a job portfolio where they want to see specific types of pieces for the what you're applying for, but they want to see that you have range and that you have potential to grow. And while technical skills are important, I feel like colleges value creativity more, because you can always learn technical skills, but like having that creative mind is really what pushes people to do art.
Ruth, what about you? What's your piece of advice for anybody who's freaking, which is basically everybody who's applying to college? What do you do with that? Because it is so stressful.
Yeah. For me, my biggest concern with my portfolio was like, because it's such a daunting and overwhelming experience, I was constantly trying to quantify and like define in a box, like what my portfolio needed to look like and how much I needed of this and what needed to go where. But I do agree with Anya that like ideas and creativity are, I mean, the most important, even though I know that's probably not the most helpful thing to hear. But I think what's really important and what will make the difference, like I can't say in terms of admissions because I'm not an admissions officer, but at least from what I've seen based on like where my friends have gotten in, is you really have to understand as much as you can what each program is about and what they're looking for. So that will obviously mean that if you're going to an arts only school, they probably will have more of a focus on technique and like individual skills. But if you're going to a liberal arts school, they probably will have more of a focus on like ideas and concepts rather than like the cleanness of your line work or like more of your technical skills. But I also do know that, like, you know, certain colleges will value certain practices or certain ideas more than others. So I know it's hard given the fact that everything has to be remote now, but try to talk to as many current students as you can and just get a sense of their personalities and their like voice and textures in their work. And that'll give you a pretty good idea of what each program is like and what kinds of things, not that they'd want to see from you, but would stand out to them more from you as an applicant.
We have a question from Trent. Is a design major ideal for UI UX? Could other majors like fine art, computer science also work in your opinion? I also want to do that. I think this is for you, Ruth, being the UI UX person in this stream.
Yeah. So UI/UX is such a complex and multidisciplinary field. I mean, in terms of UI/UX, you're working with cognitive science, psychology, like all kinds of, computer science related things like front end, back end dev. I don't know if you guys know any of those, but it basically combines humanities with design and technology. So any major that touches on any of those will give you at least one, portion of what you need to know to go into this field. But there's no way that you can just major in UI/UX. I think if you are interested in it, you just have to be aware that you're going to have to do a lot of like self-learning and just kind of like putting together your own charcuterie of like knowledge about what the field is in all of its components. But you can start from any of those places and connect the rest of the dots and be completely fine.
We have a question from Snails and Bugs. They are saying, what do you guys think about being an art major in a regular college versus going to a dedicated art school? Is one better for industry careers than the Anya, what's your take on this?
All right. So honestly, I know this is not what you're looking for, but it depends. I'd say a lot of it is based on location of the school. Well, UCLA is located in Los Angeles, which is a great place to network for if you're trying to get into the creative, like entertainment industry, et cetera. But I do think the faculty at art schools specifically could be more beneficial for your networking. I have a few friends who go to CalArts, and I know some of their professors have like actually worked on like Pixar or et cetera, which is pretty awesome. But that doesn't mean that liberal arts schools that might not necessarily have these like same professors aren't just as beneficial, like given location, and the faculty at UCLA, I think, is also pretty incredible.
Ruth, what do you think?
Yeah, like definitely like the UCLA faculty has been like beyond what I could have expected. But I think it just in terms of faculty connections, since I know that's probably like one of the biggest factors people like think about, it really just has to do with what field you want to go into, which I know it's really hard to know that when you're applying into college. But just do the best that you can and just follow whatever you know that you're even like slightly interested in. And if you change your mind later, you will always find ways to find the resources for that. But I think just starting somewhere rather than like trying to figure out exactly which one would be best for you, just being intuitive is how you're going to really get places. Yeah, I guess just speaking about the UCLA faculty, like even within the Department of Design Media Arts itself, we have so many people who are artists like in tech or artists in more like science. Like I've worked with Professor Victoria Vesna, who has her own science lab and does a lot of biology related things, but she's an amazing installation artist. And then we've also worked with like a I don't know if she's a professor, but she teaches some classes, Lauren McCarthy, and she's actually one of the people who created p5.js, which is like kind of like a computing, it's a computing language or tool, I think. I'm very not well versed in the realm of computer science yet. But yeah, you should check it out and look it up. It's pretty cool.
I mean, my two cents would be to say that the school does not determine where you end up. You can go to a top art school and totally do nothing and make no connections and come out with no job. You can also go to a smaller school, and if you know how to hustle, that will get you places. I mean, guys, Anya, you basically hustled your way into this stream because I didn't have you in my class. You took the initiative to come and speak to me because we are at the same program. You didn't have to do that. I mean, there are so many kids who go to Ritzy pre-college who never do that, and yet here you are. And so that's what I'm trying to say is that a lot of students, they have this expectation that the school determines their opportunity in the industry, but it really does not actually. It really comes down to how you navigate the industry. Now, Anya, how about the decision to go to UCLA? How did you make it? Because I know that you always seem like such an art school kid to me. And so when you decided to go to UCLA, I was really surprised, actually.
Yeah, me too. I think most people were, because I've been saying, like, everybody knew that I wanted to go to Rizzio. She's going to Rizzio, no brainer. But, like, sometime, like, junior year, I just felt like, do I really want to focus on just art for, like, the rest of my life? Which sounds bad, but like, I mostly do art for projects or for my job or assignments, etc., or if, like, the rare occasion that I'm feeling, like, creative, then I'll make a painting or something. But I don't really do it in my free time that much. So, like, most people I knew going to art school did, like, keep a sketchbook, etc. So that's when I started to, like, second guess myself. But also, I was really interested in, like, journalism and communications, and, like, there was a period where I was really interested in criminal justice. But yeah, UCLA allows me to branch out, and I can take, like, so many different classes. Like, I took a game theory class this year. Like, I'm not a game theory or political science major. But I just think it's really cool to be able to learn other things that don't just specifically pertain to art.
And Ruth, how did you make the decision to go to UCLA?
Yeah, like, since I always knew that I could, well, not always, but after RISD, I was sure that I could not go to an arts-only school for the sustainable future. That pretty much left, like, the usual list of, like, top liberal arts school choices. But the reason why UCLA was my number one was, one, because of the location. I knew that Los Angeles was such a hub of both kind of, like, pop, like, media innovation, and also just design in general. And there's nothing that you can't find in LA. So I knew that even if I changed my mind later, or just decided to completely, like, switch the field of my major, I'd be covered in some respect. And I also just really liked the environment when I went and visited, and also talked to a couple of, like, current students there. It just felt so, like, open and refreshing and entrepreneurial. And that's something that was really, really attractive to me. I just really liked the energy of it. So yeah, I think it was just the, like, variety of options.
We have a question from Lemonaden. They are asking, are there DASMA students, that is, by the way, design media arts majors at UCLA, who successfully go into the technical animation industry, like modeling and texturing, or is it more fine art, since I heard the major was very experimental and thought-driven? Well, what's your take, Anya?
Well, I'm actually currently taking a summer class on CGI and animation with the DASMA department. I think it's DASMA 24 Motion. But, like, that really focuses on what you're talking about with, like, modeling, texturing. And my instructors are both really interested in that. And I think they do work in that field. And their work is extremely, extremely professional and just, like, I can never imagine. But yeah, there's definitely a place for that.
Have you seen that, Ruth, as well? Would you agree with Anya, or do you have a different take?
No, I agree 100%. Actually, a very large amount of, like, each DASMA class is pretty much, like, heavily invested in both, like, 3D work and other kind of, like, technical animation work. And we have a lot of that equipment, like, in built into our studios and in the Broad building, which I guess we can't access right now, but hopefully we will soon. Yeah, because we have a lot of those motion tracking, like, sensor suits that they'll use in movies where they, like, use people's body motions to map onto characters. And also a lot of stuff that focuses on, like, VR and AR technology. And for our senior shows, every year, there's always, like, plenty of stuff that has to do with, like, technical animation. So I think it's a great place for that.
I mean, Lemonaden, what I would say is, if you want to do animation, you got to do your research, because some of the animation programs are so different. Like, one really clear example, and actually we have a CalArts student coming next month onto our YouTube channel to talk about this, but CalArts is very industry oriented. The RISD animation department, super artsy fartsy, not about the industry. It's more about being an independent animator. So you got to do your research because it could be like night and day, depending on what you are looking at. Vincent is asking, why is art school looked down upon? Why is it so expensive? And most people say they couldn't afford it, but can afford non-art colleges. Well, what do you think about that, Anya?
Oh boy. Well, the materials are extremely expensive, and like maintaining the facilities and like studios and like I know like art schools have a lot of like very specific programs and like equipment that like non-art schools would not have to worry about maintaining. And I feel like the stigma behind that is because I feel like pursuing art is such a risk. And since art school is so expensive, like it takes a certain type of person to be able to like confidently like decide like, yes, this is the path I'm going down. Like, this is what I want to do, like regardless of like what's gonna happen. Like, cause there are a lot of more job secure majors and industries than art. But honestly, I'm very glad with my decision to continue pursuing art, though I did, I am double majoring, so I still have that backup in case this does not work out for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I think part of it is maybe that there's no correct path to being an artist. Whereas if you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school, you take the bar exam, join a law firm, boom, you're a lawyer. It's like, you don't have to wonder, should I take the bar exam? It's like, yes, you should. But I think in other fields, it's a lot more complicated in art. Like if you say to somebody, well, how do I become an illustrator? And you ask 10 illustrators, every single one of them is going to give you a different story of how they actually got there, which is confusing. Which brings me to another topic. Ruth, do you feel at UCLA that they really are actively preparing you for the industry? Or is that something that doesn't get talked about until later? Like, is that spoken about where you are?
Yeah, well, definitely one thing that I've kind of felt and in solidarity with a lot of my other fellow DESMA majors is that actually the major itself does not necessarily prepare you for the industry, but that's actually kind of the point. So the point of the major is to essentially introduce you to like everything so you get a really broad swatch of not skills, but experience and ideas that can really force you to create, almost like create your own field or like create your own work and really be like pushing the boundaries of the industry itself. So when you're focusing so much on your ideas and breaking the box that currently exists, you're not really going to get an education that teaches you how to best manipulate the system within the current box, if that makes sense. So they're very good at, I think, preparing you to really be a game changer, but I would not describe it as preparing you for the industry. That's something that they expect you to do for yourself. So it's very like self-guided and independent, but that's one thing that I really admire about a lot of the students is they're just very driven and really good at being resourceful themselves. So it's a high expectation, but if you meet it, I mean, plenty of DESMA majors have been insanely successful and definitely go on to make big progress after they graduate.
Rin Jeff is saying, a friend of mine who is an art major went to a liberal arts university. His point was that he wanted to be a well-rounded person. Well, Anya, do you think that the USAIL program is letting you do that, giving you those options to explore and be a more well-rounded student?
Oh, definitely. Being a student at UCLA, even if you are a design major, we still are required to fulfill our GEs, which force us to take classes in like science or like foreign language, et cetera, history. So yeah, I agree with that statement.
And what about you, Ruth? Do you feel like you're getting a well-rounded experience?
Definitely, especially because I'm double majoring in communications. Honestly, even if I wasn't double majoring in communications, the GEs and the variety of GEs that are available at UCLA definitely forces you to be more of a well-rounded human. And I'm actually kind of sad that some people choose to throw away their GE credits on classes that they completely don't care about, rather than taking the time to really explore like a completely different wild topic that they might mildly be interested in, but discover that they're really passionate about. So for me, I took, it was actually an upper division, not a GE, that I needed for communications. But I took a class that was all about kind of like Middle Eastern history and politics, and specifically like the portrayal and phenomenon of terrorism in journalism, both in the Middle East and in the West. And that literally blew my mind and completely changed my outlook and understanding on a topic which I, you know, definitely knew almost nothing about before. And even though I can't say that I'm going to be using my knowledge of terrorism and journalism in UX, I definitely feel like I am more of an informed adult and person. And I'm really glad that I took the class.
Well, and also, you guys, you never know what thing you're going to pick up somewhere that you're like, oh, this is never going to matter. And then 20 years later, you end up using it. I mean, that has totally happened to me so many times. I mean, I took honors English in high school, and I don't think I'm a brilliant writer or anything like that, but I'm a pretty good writer. And I do a lot of writing now for ArtProf, and I wrote the Huffington Post column for a long time as the art professor. And so there are all these skills that sometimes they're dormant for a period of time, and then you resurrect them and you realize how valuable that is. We were talking in the stream yesterday how the guy that started SpongeBob SquarePants, he was a marine biologist before he started SpongeBob. And I just thought, there's no chance that he would have done that if he had not been a marine biologist. So that is really cool. Now, what about this idea? Because I think sometimes one of the reasons people don't want to go to liberal arts and they want to go to art school is that sometimes you can be spread too thin at a liberal arts college. You're doing so many different things, a lot of things going on. Anya, how do you balance that? Do you ever feel like, oh no, I'm not spending enough time on my art, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. But that's more about like taking initiative yourself, like signing up for classes that will help you progress in your art career, or looking into clubs. Like, for example, I'm in Ad Team right now, which is this competitive advertising club at UCLA, and we actually work on like campaigns for real companies. Like last year's was Adobe, but I'm a designer for that, and we got to see how like a real advertising firm runs, and got to meet so many other people in that process that aren't just designers. So I think that's just, yeah, about taking initiative.
Yeah. And Ruth, what do you do to keep that balance? Because I can tell you guys, when I'm into my studio work, I don't want to do anything else. Like, I don't want to eat. I don't want to pee. I just want to do my thing. And I know for me, if I had to get up and take an exam or write an essay, that would have driven me up the wall. I mean, granted, art school was the thing for me. It was definitely the best fit. But I'm just wondering, for people who are worried about that, maybe not having the amount of time on your work, Ruth, how have you handled that?
I feel like when people like have that expectation, they're under, or they're overestimating, they're underestimating how easy it is to actually just fall into your own like niche bubble, even at like a liberal arts school. So you might be thinking, oh, because I have to do GEs and because I'm going to want to join so many clubs, like my attention is just going to be so scattered. How am I going to do my major? But at the same time, like if you, because the pool is so big and because there are so many students, like, yes, you will see people every day in your classes. You might be in a class with 500 people, but unless you're making an effort to make a name for yourself and to meet people and really put together the life you want, you're just going to get passed by. So it's really important that not only, like, you know, you have opportunities in front of you where you are, but it's all about taking advantage of those. And I definitely know people who are at UCLA in a major with a ton of people and might have zero activities or no internships or feel like they are in a slump and are essentially doing nothing, even though they were taking all their GEs and doing everything else that everyone thought would be overwhelming. So yeah, I don't think it's hard to balance if you, I mean, are just wise about your own time and workload. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I mean, I guess the way that I would compare liberal arts and art school is that compared to liberal arts, art school, it's a little lopsided where you put all your eggs into one basket, which is your studio work. I mean, that is your life. And I loved it. It was the greatest thing for somebody like me. But the thing is, if I wanted to do something else, take a Russian literature class, that wasn't really an option at a place like RISD. I mean, RISD is great because there's the Brown program, not the dual degree program, but if you're a regular RISD student, you can cross register for Brown classes. But that said, it's harder than people make it out to be because you have to like figure out the schedules. They don't line up. The vacations aren't the same. So it's like, this is, again, you got to do your research. So Anya, how would you suggest people research these college programs, the art schools, the liberal arts colleges, the ones that have good art departments? How do you do that?
Well, I wanted to major in graphic design at the art schools that I applied to. So I mostly focused on researching that department. So I don't really know about the rest of the majors or whatever else the school offers besides what I was looking for specifically. But I knew RISD because of its reputation, and I really liked Pratt and Parsons because of the location in New York. Like, I always wanted to live and work in New York, and the connections there that you can make are just incredible. But I think I decided to come to UCLA over the other liberal arts schools. I got into a couple other UCs and UVA, and it's been a while. But I saw that UCLA offered the DESMA program, and I thought, like, I didn't know if I necessarily wanted to do that, but it was nice to have the option that I could start working for that if I wanted to. So I really think you should keep your options open and just pick a school that would allow you to, like, if you have something like nagging at the back of your brain, but like you don't know if you're actually going to act on, like, keep your options open. Like, you don't know, maybe one day.
We have a question here from, can't say your name, G. Do you think getting a BFA in animation and then getting a master's in computer science makes sense? What do you think, Ruth?
I mean, I definitely do not think that there's any wrong combination of education, because it all depends on the person and what their interests are. So, I mean, from my narrow point of view, I just don't know anything about like what careers you might be interested in, but I can say that if you are interested in doing something that's really, really technical animation based, I mean, this could be a great thing to set you up. Maybe like if you can supplement like 3D and some other kind of more like animation related softwares that they use in movies on the side, you could be a really good candidate for any kind of like motion graphics company or any like, I don't know, technical position like in a film. But again, like, I just don't bar yourself off and try to categorize what combinations might be right or wrong, because like Clara said before, like at the end of the day, it's really not about where you got your education. It's what you got from your education and what you do in the world with it, interacting with other humans in design. So just really, it's all intuitive. Don't think about it too much or try to categorize it into right or wrong.
G, to answer your question, I think it's a great combination. And in fact, my husband, who taught in the RISD animation department for many, many years, he, for the longest time, always talked about going back to get a master's in computer science because he thought it would really I guess, fill in some of the gaps as far as the software and stuff, because he's the type of person, he'll sit down and read a manual from beginning to end, like for fun, because he's like, I just really want to know. I'm like, you're the only person I know that does this. But I think that's a great combination. And like Ruth said, you cannot go wrong by acquiring more knowledge. We have a question from Muhammadu. Sorry, can't say anyone's name correctly. They are saying, I'm doing architecture for undergrad, but also want to go into maybe an MFA. Do you think this could work? This is more a question for me. You guys have not gotten your MFAs yet, but I would just say when we're talking about combination of degrees, it really depends on where you want to go for your MFA. Do you want to do architecture again? Are you trying to do your MFA in painting? What does that look like paired with an architecture degree? My feeling about education is you can make anything work. Like, there's no incorrect combination, but you got to think it through, because a lot of these programs are not cheap. I mean, they're, I think RISD is over $70,000 a year. I know Yale MFA is the same way. So it's a pretty big decision. I would say watch the stream that Lauren and I did a couple days ago about getting your MFA and how to decide whether to do that, because it is a really tough decision, I think, for a lot of people to be making. If you guys would like to check out Ruth and Anya's work more, we have Ruth's Instagram up here, and also their Instagrams are in the video description below. So if you guys want to see them and follow their work, this is Anya's Instagram. So check it out, because you guys turned out pretty awesome as far as I'm concerned. You guys are like my little babies, because I met you when you were like 16. It's so funny. Like, to me,
we love you, mother.
Team forever, because that's why I met you. So check them out. And also, by the way, if you guys want to check out artprof.org and you click on tutorials, we do have an art school portfolios guide, because I know a lot of you guys are getting your stuff ready. Check this out. We have lots and lots of resources for you guys to dig into. And we also have these portfolio critiques, which are really great in terms of seeing how other people have navigated creating a portfolio, and hearing critical feedback is also really, really useful. ArtProf has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And please join us on the Discord in the post live streams channel. The invite link is in the video description below. I'm going to see if I can get Ruth and Anya there. We have to figure out your Discord history first, see if your accounts are still active. So hopefully I'll pull them over there. But I will definitely be there if you guys want to chat more. Please subscribe to the ArtProf YouTube channel and join the ArtProf family. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who make everything here possible. Thank you to everybody for all your comments, your questions. You guys really helped us enrich this stream. Thank you, Anya and Ruth, for being here, for enlightening us. Everybody, thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.